Departure with a Belly. Chapter 111. Compared to Alaric's restlessness, Victoria seemed much calmer. Let's go. Let's not delay Grandma's check, up. Without any outsiders present, she didn't put on an act, and it made her sound and look completely different. When she finished speaking, she realized that he wasn't moving. She frowned slightly. She hadn't wanted to separate herself from him so soon, but his words were far too annoying, so she couldn't help herself. The results from Griselda's checkup weren't certain at all, and Victoria had been far too hasty. At that thought, she took a deep breath and was about to turn to speak to him when the car suddenly set off at a great speed. She was extremely shocked and turned to look at Alaric, seeing that he was driving with a completely dark expression while exuding intense rage. For some reason, she felt herself tearing up as great sadness rose inside her. What is he doing? I didn't do anything wrong at all, so why do I have to bear all of this? How is his relationship with Claudia any of my business? He was the one to suggest marriage as well as divorce, even asking me to abort the child. He has been the one controlling everything, so why is he angry with me? Her tears welled up and she turned to look outside the window before they could fall. She leaned backward and turned her head up slightly so her tears would accumulate without trickling out. Never mind. Just let it be. We probably can't even be friends anymore. What other choice is there? I shouldn't have fallen for him. The car went at a high speed before Alaric calmed down enough to let it return to a normal speed. When they arrived at the hospital and got out of the car, he saw that her eyes were red as if she had been crying. His stormy mood abated at once after seeing this. As Victoria was about to step inside the hospital, he caught her wrist. "Were you crying?" She did not even turn her head. "No," he frowned. Her voice sounded normal and did not seem suspicious, yet her eyes were as red as that of a rabbit's. "Why is she crying? Is it because I drove too fast?" As Alaric considered this, he felt her hand trying to free itself. He lost focus for a while before gripping her wrist tighter. Remembering what his mother had said, he pursed his lips to form a straight line. "It was my fault just now. Victoria, who had already calmed down, felt herself tear up again and nearly couldn't stop her tears. "I don't need you to apologize. Let go." She tried to draw her hand back, but he continued gripping it tightly, not letting go no matter how hard she struggled. Alaric wasn't sure if he was mistaken, but he could feel the sadness radiating from the back of her head. The emotions which had tormented him reached their peak and he opened his mouth, about to say something. "There you are, Mr. and Mrs. Cadogan." Two familiar nurses came out of the rehabilitation center at that moment and greeted them voluntarily. Alaric frowned, not expecting outsiders to interrupt them. Meanwhile, Victoria took the opportunity to completely shake him off and moved forward to talk to the two nurses. Their attention was drawn to her immediately and they did not even notice him being angry. After another 10 minutes, Adrian's car arrived as well. Since the chauffeur had been the one driving, not to mention that Griselda was in it, the car moved extremely stably. As soon as Adrian alighted from the car, he shot a disapproving glance at his son and scolded sternly, "Why did you drive so recklessly? It's fine if you are alone, but Victoria is there with you. After reprimanding his son, Adrian went off to check on Victoria. Mary came forward while pushing Griselda's wheelchair as she shot her son a look. Seeing his dark expression made her snort inwardly before she shook her head. I gave him my secret weapon, but he still ended up like this. He deserves that. On the other hand, Griselda, who was sitting in the wheelchair, seemed to have sensed something too and couldn't help asking, they seem to have some issues since their emotions seem too unusual. Mary paused before realizing what Griselda was worried about. After pondering for a second, she chuckled. Mom, the younger generation likes to wear each other out. You don't have to be too concerned. Back in the day, Adrian and I would also argue every few days. I would either think he didn't care enough about me or that he wasn't being considerate enough. To be brief, their personalities will surely cause some friction when they get together before eventually becoming compatible. Your words make sense, but Griselda couldn't help worrying and decided to tell Mary about Claudia after some consideration. Her daughter, in law, was smart and would definitely find a way. If this could be dealt with, then Griselda didn't have to worry about it. Claudia. Griselda couldn't really do much about her. It would be easier if Claudia had been any other girl, yet she was someone their family was indebted to, and it made things complex. It wouldn't be morally fitting if the family made Alaric ignore Claudia since he couldn't ignore her or even treat her frigidly. Instead, he had to be warm toward her. Such a relationship was hard to resolve as their elders. After hearing what Griselda had to say, Mary did not seem too worried. So, you're worried about that, Mom? I don't think you have to be so concerned. Alaric may be slower on the uptake, but he definitely knows what he wants. Griselda wasn't reassured and sighed instead. I agree with the latter, but I'm worried about Victoria getting hurt. Mary looked instinctively toward Victoria. The young woman was wearing an azure-colored long coat paired with a cream blouse underneath, with her waist-length hair gathered into a low ponytail. When she lowered her head, several strands of hair came loose from its sides to conceal her flawless face, making her look more delicate. The nurse was saying something to Victoria, and she nodded slightly before smiling. She looked to be smiling, but she seemed sad and unhappy for an unknown reason. At that point, Mary, who had always been optimistic, couldn't help but frown too. She initially felt she didn't have to worry since she thought her son knew what he wanted, so there would not be an issue. However, Griselda's reminder made her realize she hadn't considered Victoria's feelings. Victoria had emotions and would feel unhappy or hurt too. Chapter 112. Only Griselda could go inside for her check up, so the others had to wait outside. Alaric leaned against the window, instinctively feeling inside his pocket before recalling faintly that he hadn't touched cigarettes in a very long time. It seemed that he hadn't changed the habit of wanting to smoke whenever he felt anxious. He didn't really smoke much before, but it was about a year ago that he completely quit smoking. It was after he and Victoria had accidentally slept together and he couldn't forget her body and scent. It was as if he was addicted to it. He started to kiss her from time to time, which happened anywhere and anytime since he refused to lose any opportunities for that. Alaric had once joined an hours-long meeting where the contents put him in a horrible mood, so he started to smoke after returning to the conference room. After just a few puffs, Victoria came in with some documents and became concerned at the sight of him smoking. "Why are you smoking now? Are you in a bad mood?" He did not answer and only stared darkly at her. Their relationship had still been close back then, so she wasn't afraid of his frigid expression and quickly went forward to grab the cigarette. However, she did not succeed and ended up being dragged onto his lap. After settling on his lap, she decided to play along and put her hands on his shoulders. "Don't be angry. Even if you are unhappy, it has already passed." 2/7 Victoria's mouth opened and closed in front of him while she chattered on, glimmering so seductively that Alaric's gaze became darker as she continued. He lifted a hand and held her chin before kissing her, and she froze for an instant before kissing back. They kissed passionately in the office, and when it ended, she leaned against him as she panted. "Doesn't feel good," she mumbled. "What doesn't?" Alaric's voice was terribly hoarse. His first reaction was that he hadn't kissed her well enough and she wasn't satisfied with this. Her eyes were shiny while her mouth was still swollen. "The cigarette." He then realized she was referring to his cigarette, and he immediately stuck it on the ashtray and extinguished it. She pouted. "Not like that." The tips of his fingers moved against her cheek and the pads of his fingers lingered on her ruined lipstick as he murmured, "Not like that." "Then, how?" "I meant that you shouldn't smoke anymore," Victoria answered, pulling on his necktie in annoyance. "You knew that already but asked me that on purpose." "Oh." Alaric laughed quietly and leaned toward her. "So, you meant that it feels good and you enjoy it when I don't smoke." Victoria was speechless upon hearing that. "When did I say I enjoyed it? Don't flatter yourself, all right. You don't enjoy it, Then, who was the one that kept asking me to kiss her after having too much to drink?" "Alaric." Her pouty voice and the good times they had together seemed to have happened yesterday, and only the cold wall stood before him when he came back to the present. They had been giving each other the silent treatment for a long time. Alaric looked toward Victoria where she was sitting beside his mother as they discussed something with their heads close together. His phone vibrated inside his pocket at that moment, the ringtone making everyone look toward him. He recovered and took it out. After looking at the call notification, he pursed his lips and looked instinctively at Victoria, who was coincidentally looking at him. Their gazes met for a second before she discreetly shifted hers away. After Alaric's phone rang for several seconds, he hung up and muted it, causing silence to fall once again. Mary understood everything from her son's reaction, since he would have picked it up had it been important. However, he had glanced instinctively at Victoria after looking at the screen and didn't take the call either, which meant the caller was most probably Claudia. Mary lamented Alaric's incompetence before looking at Victoria, whose eyes were lowered. Victoria didn't seem affected by it, though no one knew what she was thinking. After the call was cut off, Claudia froze in disbelief. This was the first time Alaric had hung up on her. "Why? Is it because my face is about to be ruined so his feelings have changed? I'm his savior, no. Even if my beauty is truly ruined, he should not treat me like that since he would always take my calls immediately." Elaine was beside Claudia and immediately complained after seeing her unhappy look. That vixen Victoria must have seduced him. Why else would Alaric not pick up? Claudia bit her lower lip. Stop talking. Why not, Claudia? Hasn't she made a promise to you? See how it turned out. She is someone untrustworthy. You helped her out before, yet she stole your man. Why do you think she will fulfill her promise? Claudia bit her lip, holding her phone tightly without speaking. Claudia, stop being so kind. The most terrifying thing is that she's pregnant and has said that she will get a divorce after old Mrs. Cadogan's operation is finished. Have you ever thought about why old Mrs. Cadogan's operation has suddenly been delayed? Why was she so healthy before but suddenly became so weak? Doesn't Victoria have a hand in all this? She's been Mrs. Cadogan for so long, so why would she give up on that role so easily? It's impossible. Stop being so trustful, Claudia. Elaine's words were difficult to take in, yet Claudia felt they were all true. If Victoria really wanted to fulfill her promise, why did she not sign the contract with Claudia? Victoria's unwillingness to sign the contract was proof of her not wanting to hold up her side of the deal. Many people would go back on anything they had agreed to verbally, so what could Claudia do besides scold Victoria if Victoria really did renege on their agreement? As Claudia was immersed in her thoughts, the door opened as one of her close friends came in. Bad news, Claudia. I bumped into Christopher on the way up, and he has bought flowers to visit you. I don't know where he got the information, but I didn't let him up. Claudia was in a bad mood and felt speechless after hearing his name. Elaine rolled her eyes. Is Christopher crazy? Hasn't Claudia already turned him down? What does he want? Claudia was about to tell them to find an excuse to make him leave, but another 6/7 person chimed in, exactly. What can a rascal like him do besides cause trouble? I don't know where he found the courage to pursue Claudia. Does he think she will ever consider him? She felt like she had heard the most important thing then. Cause trouble, huh? Her dejected gaze brightened once again. She had hated Christopher immensely before since she felt he damaged her reputation, but she hadn't felt so grateful for his arrival ever before. Chapter 113. Elaine shot to her feet. Is he still downstairs? I'll chase him away. Honestly, what a delusional upstart. Just as she was about to leave the room, Claudia called out to her. Wait. Claudia. To Elaine's surprise, Claudia smiled and gently said, "Let him in." Everyone in the ward stared at her in shock as they all cried out at the same time. Claudia, they shrieked. Did you forget what he did to you? Elaine exclaimed. Christopher Drevel is a ruffian. If you let him in, you'll, Elaine, Claudia interrupted in a soft voice. No matter what he did to me before, I am now hurt. If he knew of that and came here to visit me at the hospital, that means he cares about me. Should I not be touched by someone capable of showing me such concern? How could I chase him away? 2/9 everyone else disagreed with that sentiment. Claudia, he doesn't care about you. He likes you. If you acknowledge him, he will only get worse. Let's ignore him, please. Yes, Claudia. I know you are so nice that you think he's being nice by visiting you, but why would he visit you unless he had an ulterior motive in mind? Harden your heart. What if he does something to you? However, Claudia was unexpectedly stubborn that day. He wouldn't do anything to me. I know you're concerned about me, but he's really here to visit me. Let him see Om in. Seeing that they were going to continue protesting, she smiled, and added, "All right. I've made up my mind. You can stop." When they realized there was no way to convince her, they had no choice but to call Christopher in. Still, that did not stop them from grumbling as they went. "What's going on with Claudia? She hates Christopher, right? Why would she let him in? Perhaps she changed her mind due to how bad her injuries are. Somehow, that made her think he's really here just to visit her. Oh, I just don't understand her." They headed downstairs to find Christopher still waiting with a floral bouquet. He was a thug, someone who knew Claudia in school but had long since dropped out. However, he continued to bother her after dropping out. He only stopped when she moved abroad where he could not follow her. Recently, he had somehow heard about Claudia's return and was back to harass her. He was quite handsome but with an alcoholic father, a mother who worked at a massage parlor, and no proper job of his own, who would want to date him? Nevertheless, Claudia was the daughter of someone rich and powerful. Hence, 3/9 everyone went along with what she said. They soon led him up to Claudia's room. He had been so overjoyed to hear about being given permission to see her that he followed close behind them with his bright and gaudy bouquet. When Christopher walked into the room, he found Claudia sitting on the bed, looking miserable and pitiful with her head covered in thick loops of gauze bandages. "Claudia." He initially wanted to take a few steps forward in his excitement, but with consideration that she had potentially run away to spend years overseas because he had been too fervent in his pursuit, he decided to instead vibrate on the same spot as he stared at her. The passion in his eyes made Claudia's stomach churn with disgust. Every inch of him, including the so-called trendy outfit he had curated for himself, was revolting to her. She would never have allowed someone like him into her territory if he were of no use to her goal. "How did you get hurt, Claudia? Are you okay? I bought you a bouquet. Do you like it? I was going to bring you some fruits as well, but I wasn't sure what you liked," he said. He was so cautious and tentative in his speech. She found his voice grating. It was too coarse, too crass, and too insecure. She still suppressed her dislike to force a smile on her face. "I'm okay. It's good enough that you're here. You didn't have to buy me anything," she said. "How can I visit you with empty hands?" "That would be rude," he responded. Disdain was painted all over the faces of the others in the room. "No one's asking you to come empty-handed, but you should at the very least bring something nice with you. Look at the flowers you brought. They're so ugly and gaudy. Did you find them on the side of the road?" someone commented. "Yeah. How could you even visit Claudia with that bouquet?" someone else said with a scoff. The disparaging remarks caused a dark look to flash in his eyes as his hands tightened around the bouquet. Claudia noted every twitch of his body. She pursed her lips and tentatively called out, "Please stop saying that. It's good enough that he's willing to visit me. Mr. Drevel, you can just come empty-handed next time. You don't have to buy anything special. As expected, the dark look vanished the moment she spoke up. He then replied to her in a sweet voice, "Okay. Claudia." Everyone shot her looks of disagreement. She ignored them to continue to cheerfully chat with him. The longer the conversation went on, the more Christopher admired her. As expected, the woman he chose was not like other girls. Claudia did not look down on him at all. She was so different. Everyone merely thought that Claudia was behaving oddly. After all, she was actually talking to Christopher, a thug. They glanced at each other and decided to turn their attention to him instead. "Hey, you've seen her now. The bouquet is in her hands. You should go now," one of them called out. "What? We only let you in to visit her. Did you think you could stay here? Look at yourself first. Do you think you're worthy of her?" someone else interrupted. "Enough. Stop that. He's..." Claudia suddenly fell to her side and let out a cry of pain in the middle of her sentence. "Claudia." Everyone hurried over in worry. "Are you okay, Claudia? Is it your head?" With closed eyes and a pale face, Claudia shook her head while leaning into Elaine's arms. It took her a moment before she forced a smile on her lips once more. "I'm fine. You don't have to worry about me," she said. Her feeble appearance had her friends clenching their fists in anger. "It's all Victoria Selwyn's fault. If she hadn't pushed you, you would not be hurt. You're even going to have a scar now." Claudia weakly shook her head once more. "It's all in the past. Please forgive her actions." Christopher narrowed his eyes as he processed what he heard. "What did you just say? Who pushed Claudia?" She froze. She was about to speak up when someone answered, "Victoria Selwyn. She was one of our schoolmates. You've seen her before, Christopher." That jogged his memory. With Claudia still in her arms, Elaine smirked as if a thought suddenly struck her. "You keep claiming you like Claudia and that you would do anything for her. Now, 8/9 you have a chance to prove that. Victoria is the one who hurt her. Shouldn't you do something about that?" Chapter 114. The room fell into silence the moment Elaine said that. No one had expected her to say that. As for the reason they went quiet, it was because her words suddenly made them realize Christopher was not as useless as they thought. He was a thug, a gangster who wandered on the edges of society. He was the best at tasks like teaching others a lesson. Everyone admired how fast Elaine came to that realization. It seemed like her fight with Victoria had made her thoroughly hate Victoria. After a very long moment of silence, Claudia abruptly gasped in shock. "What are you saying, Elaine? How could you tell Mr. Drevel to do that? She's just joking. Please ignore her." He pursed his lips. "What if I take her words seriously? Claudia, I have never done anything for you before, but I swear, from now on, I will not allow any harm to come to you. Anyone who does so will be my mortal enemy. I will never forgive anyone who hurts you." Mr. Drevel, the situation was very chaotic back then. "It might not have been Victoria," Claudia pleaded. "Claudia," Elaine said, interrupting with a stern look on her face, "You don't have to defend Victoria. You have defended her for ages, but has she even come to visit you since you got hurt? She doesn't even feel any remorse for her actions." Claudia looked down. "Enough, Claudia. We know you're kind and can't bear to blame her for anything, but we're not like you. We can't just do nothing when someone's being a bully." Christopher kept quiet, but the murderous glint lurking in his eyes was an obvious indicator of his future actions. Claudia could make a good guess at what those would be. Deep down, she was laughing in glee. She had been worried that the people around her would be suspicious of her when they heard Christopher did something to Victoria after Claudia invited him up to her ward. However, things were different now that the suggestion came from Elaine. She had not expected her plan to go so smoothly. With Elaine as her scapegoat, what did she have to worry about? She tried to stop them. It was not her fault that they ignored her words. Griselda's test results were out, and they looked good. As the nurse brought her back to her room to rest, Benedict summoned the Cadogans to his office to inform them of her condition. "Old Mrs. Cadogan is recovering well, and she seems to be doing well mentally. It looks like she's better suited to life outside a nursing home," he stated. Mary happily smiled. "Of course. She adores my daughter-in-law. This must be all thanks to Victoria." Everyone, including Benedict, in the nursing home knew about the fact that Victoria was taking care of Griselda. Hence, he nodded in agreement. "That's true," he said. "When can she go under for the operation, Dr. Sully?" Mary asked. "If preparations go by quickly, she will be operated on in the next 2 days. Otherwise, the operation would happen later this week." She nodded. "Very well." After leaving the office, she turned to Adrian and said, "Since she's going to be operated on this week, why don't I stay? I'll let you know when the operation date is set." While there was a lot of work to do, the elderly family members were more important. He nodded. "I'll do my best to hurry back in the next 2 days." "Okay. I'll book a flight for you now, honey." "Thank you, darling." They kept an affectionate exchange of endearments as they continued to walk away. As for the pair behind them, their interaction left the air cold and tense. Alaric and Victoria walked separately. The sight of the couple ahead of them being so loving to each other contrasted with the lack of affection between them made Victoria think that it might look bad if Griselda noticed the contrast. Eventually, she stopped and turned to Alaric. "I'll wait for you in the car." He paused and turned to look at her. It was only then that he recalled the words he had left unsaid. Just as he was about to finish the conversation from before, Victoria was gone. A stormy look instantly took over his face as he marched after her. Meanwhile, Mary had finished booking a flight for Adrian and turned around to speak to Alaric and Victoria to find Alaric running after Victoria, who was marching away. "Those two," Mary sighed and shook her head. She then shrugged. "Let's ignore them and take care of Mom first." "Okay. I'll follow your lead," Adrian said. He was not worried at all about his son. After all, Alaric was an adult. There was no way he could not even handle his own relationship issues. Thus, the couple swiftly continued on their way to meet up with Griselda. Victoria had walked away from Alaric the moment she was done speaking. She left as fast as she could, worried that Alaric might catch up to her and refuse to let her leave. She marched out of the hospital doors and straight toward the parking lot. All she could think about was Griselda's operation. If Grandma Griselda has to undergo an operation in the next 2 days, should she remain at home or move back to the nursing home? Well, she does not like staying in the nursing home, so there is no way she would agree with that suggestion. In that case, she should stay at home and only come back on the day of the operation. This time, they could not leave her alone in the nursing home. They had to accompany her until the very second she was pushed into the operating theater. Soon, she arrived at the car. It did not take her long. Lost in her thoughts, she had actually run to the car. Staring at the car before her, she suddenly encountered an issue. She did not ask Alaric for the keys. Now, she had no choice but to wait outside by the car since she could not head back in. Victoria. A cold voice rang out with fury from behind her. Her body stiffened in shock. Before she could turn around, her hand was grabbed and pinned against the cold metal of the car in front of her. The air around her was soon filled with Alaric's icy and overwhelming scent. She looked up into his dark eyes to find them blazing with rage. His appearance stunned her. It took her a while before she could respond. "What are you doing here?" she asked. "Should he not be with Grandma?" "Did you follow me?" she continued. Alaric was beyond himself with anger at her ability to speak calmly to him at such a moment. "How else would I know you're here?" he spat out through gritted teeth. That rendered her speechless. She then tried to struggle out of his grip. As expected, she failed. In the end, she stopped and sighed. "Is there something you need?" Then, as if a thought suddenly struck her, she softly continued, "Even if you need something from me, you could just hold it in for now. Don't say anything. Can we not wait until Grandma's operation is over?" She truly did not want any complications to arise. Everything had to step aside when it came to Griselda's health. Chapter 115. Alaric had actually not known what he wanted to say to Victoria. He merely chased after her because the stormy emotions stuck in his chest felt overwhelming but had nowhere to go. However, he knew for a fact that she was the cause of those emotions. The frustration made him uneasy. When he continued to pin her wrist against the car, she scowled. Not wanting to just end the conversation without an answer, she asked one more time, "There's no difference between saying what's on your mind now and waiting to tell me after Grandma's operation, right?" If he had anything he wanted to say to her, it would undoubtedly be about what happened between him and Claudia. They seemed to have moved past Claudia's fall. He did not bother her about it, likely because the family did not want to humiliate Griselda. However, that did not mean he did not hold a grudge against Victoria for the fall. Even though he did say he knew Claudia had fallen on her own, he did not step up to clarify the circumstances and defend Victoria. Thus, if Claudia were going to target Victoria, she would only do it after Griselda's operation. By then, Alaric and Victoria would be divorced. Victoria would have nothing to worry about then. Hence, she did not want to fight with him about Claudia right now. She only wanted to focus on Griselda's health. At that thought, she tried to struggle away once more. To her surprise, he continued to hold on tight to her wrist. The warmth radiating from his grip felt hot against her skin. She silently stared back at him. "Is he still not letting me go after all I've said?" Finally, Alaric spoke. "Can we sit down and properly talk after Grandma's operation?" "Of course," she immediately replied. If possible, she wanted them to part on good terms. Her swift response seemed like she was only brushing him off, but a careful observation of the look in her eyes did not show any of that intent. The two of them had known each other since childhood. She would not need to lie to him. Thus, he slowly let go of her hand. The force pinning her wrist against the car disappeared. She heaved a sigh of relief. Did that mean the situation could be put on pause until after Griselda's operation? As she massaged and rubbed her wrist, she asked, "Did you tell your parents before following me?" "Tell them about what?" His voice might be as cold as usual, but his face looked more pleasant now. "You ran after me, so we disappeared without a word. Wouldn't they worry? What if Grandma?" Alaric's lips twitched in a self-deprecating manner. "Don't worry about that. Grandma's greatest wish is for me to get back together with you," he said, interrupting her. She could muster no retort to that declaration. It was true that Griselda hoped for them to be together. "Mom and Dad will take care of her," he said. "Okay." She nodded. Silence fell once more, filling the air with awkward tension. Moments later, she suggested, "Why don't we head back in?" His dark eyes snapped to stare at her. "Okay." He did not say a word on the way back, but she could clearly sense he had slowed down to walk beside her. She pursed her lips as she internally sighed. It would be so nice if Griselda were not sick. If that were the case, Griselda would have a healthy body and not have to suffer through an operation at her age. Victoria would not have to pretend to marry Alaric then. If not for the fake marriage, their friendship would not have turned into this. Unfortunately, they were all past the point of no return. Alaric only messaged Claudia after Griselda's affairs were settled. He did not answer her call and only messaged her that Griselda would be operated on soon. Claudia had thought he was avoiding her. Thus, even with Christopher avenging her, she was still unhappy since Alaric was not by her side. His message made her heart leap with joy once more. She would not be upset if he refused to answer her call only because of Griselda. She cautiously called him once more. This time, he answered her call. "Al," she called out. There was a note of exhaustion in his voice as he replied, "Rest well in the hospital. I'll visit you when I have the time. I know you're busy." "It's okay if you don't have the time to visit me," she replied in a voice as gentle as a breeze. "My head wound is nothing compared to Grandma's illness. You should focus on that first." Alaric had been worried that she would feel neglected due to his absence, so he had felt relieved when he heard that. "Okay. Oh, right. Al, is Grandma's operation happening in the next few days?" After a moment of silence, he replied, "Within the week. Within the week." She could not resist smirking when she heard that. "Okay. Tell Grandma that I pray for her operation to go well." "Thanks. Her smile vanished as soon as she hung up. Her fingers clenched around her phone. Hopefully, things would go smoothly without a hitch this time. Still, if Griselda were undergoing an operation within the week, Christopher's actions against Victoria during this time would affect Griselda's health. That would not do. No matter what, Griselda's operation had to be a success. The longer the wait for the operation, the longer it would take for Alaric to divorce Victoria. It seemed like they would have to wait before attacking Victoria. Still, Christopher would be too foolish to wait that long. From the menacing look in his eyes, he would probably make a move in the next 2 days. At that thought, she immediately turned to Elaine and asked, "Do you have Christopher's number?" Elaine had been peeling an orange for her when she heard that. Her head snapped up in shock. "Why do you want his number?" she asked. "Do you have it?" Claudia asked once more. "No, but why do you want to contact him?" "Are you?" Elaine was honestly worried that after being neglected by Alaric, she would be depressed enough to throw her lot in with Christopher instead. It was impossible for Claudia to not hear the implicit question. She scowled. "What nonsense is that? Just give me his phone number," she barked out. Elaine had no choice but to tell Claudia his number to be saved on her phone. Elaine bit her lips and glanced at Claudia. In the end, she could not resist speaking up once more. "Why do you want to contact him, Claudia?" "I'm not trying to mother you, but, it's fine. It's nothing important anyway. I'm just worried he might do something to Victoria. That's why I wanted to talk to him," Claudia softly explained. Elaine's eyes widened in disbelief. "Claudia, why are you defending her even now? She deserves to be taught a lesson. She had the nerve to seduce Alaric. Please let Christopher get rid of her." Claudia's face darkened. The next few days will be a make, or, break moment. Al will only divorce Victoria after old Mrs. Cadogan's operation. "What do you think might happen to her if Victoria got into an accident?" she explained.